Thanks for being here. I'm so excited for this portion. We love Q&A. Just picking at these ladies' brains. First, we'll start with a little introductions. If you guys want to just tell me your names, maybe a little bit about your family, and then what fellowship group you're a part of. I'll start.
Hello. Okay, it's working. Hi, everyone. I'm Danielle Munoz, Pastor Isai's wife here in 180. Woohoo! So happy to be here for this event yet again this year. And is anything else that, I mean, fellowship group's 180, but
yeah. You could say your, how many kids you have?
Yeah, we have four little ones. They're all somewhere around here because there's also TMK happening today. So it's a fun, busy day. Yeah. And one on the way. Yeah.
And I'm Glenna Anderson. My husband is Rodney, and he works here at the church. He's the director of GMI, which is Grace Ministries International, the mission sending agency of our church. So we spent 5.5 years in China and then came back here for him to take the job that he's doing now. And he also then has the privilege of co-pastoring the commissioned fellowship group with Brad Clausen. And we have two kids. My daughter Amy's here. And our son, Ian, is married to Hannah, and they serve here. Amy's in Steadfast. Ian and Hannah are all with us in commissioned, and they all do Adventure Club in the evenings. And, yeah, that's our family.
Hi, I'm Jackie Taylor, and Emily's mom. And I have another wonderful daughter, Amanda, and she and her husband, Kwacha Samwaka, are missionaries in South Africa. And Kwacha is coming on Monday, so I'm very excited about that. I've been a widow for 17 years, which is, wow, a long time. But I had a wonderful husband. And I'm very much involved in Grace Life, love Grace Life, along with a number of many other Bible studies. And I've been going to Grace since 1980 and love it. Okay.
How many grandkids do you have?
Oh, five grandkids, and I adore them. They're from 12 to 3, and four girls, and then we got the boy.
So anyway. That's sweet. Hi, ladies. My name is Aureli Perez, and I am in commissioned fellowship, the commissioned fellowship group.
Woo-hoo.
Yes, woo-woo. Super thankful to be here. This is my first event or first time being in high school ministries. So
first time in the basement.
Yeah. Yeah, for this. So super excited to be here. So I grew up in Northern California and moved out here from Kansas City. I was working out there and started studying at the Master's University online. So I moved out here about 7.5 years ago. So graduated from there, currently serve at the Master's Seminary. It's a huge blessing. They're my family. Single and just serving here through either commissioned or EWG. And yeah, so enjoy serving in women's ministries and just being involved in any way that I can. So yeah,
love it. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you guys all being here. Okay, so I'm kind of going to start out. We have so many questions, so I'm going to kind of dive in. But first, I kind of want to hear about your guys' quiet time. We talked a lot, Glenna, you talked about how to study the Bible. So I'm curious what your guys' quiet time right now looks like. What are you studying? Is it every day, once a week? Kind of how long? Kind of give me a little glimpse of what it looks like for you guys practically in this season that you guys are in. Anyone?
I'll go first.
Go for it.
Sure. Just strive to be in the Word daily. I'm currently working through 1 Corinthians, just being a part of EWG, so I spend a lot of time there. But I'm also working through Proverbs. I strive to be in Proverbs daily, just very practical, just wisdom, approaching life as I serve here at TMS or just working right now. That's where the Lord has me. So practical things on speech, practical things on the way that you think, practical things on the way that you use your time. And so so I really enjoy that. So I spend a lot of time in Proverbs, 1 Corinthians. So I do that daily as far as Proverbs goes, but 1 Corinthians is just often because of the study at EWG. But it also kind of depends on the week as far as Bible studies. So I attend a commissioned Bible study, open up my Bible throughout the week. Sometimes if there's a hard day and I just need to be in the Word and need to be encouraged, I just open up my Bible, read a devotional. So it's very constant. I think with time, I've realized the Word of God is just my life, and life is hard sometimes. So you just need to be constantly in the Word. So I think developing that habit of being there daily and often has helped me so much.
Well, 17 years ago when I lost my husband, I found it very difficult being, I sort of felt like the odd man out because all of our friends were couples, and then I felt like the third wheel. Where I felt comfortable were Bible studies. I just love being in Bible studies. So right away, I was in like five Bible studies. And right now on Mondays, I'm working now with One with Christ, which is for widows. And then on Tuesday, I do every woman's, I do volunteering. Wednesday, EWG. Thursday, volunteering. Friday, I have two Bible studies, one in the morning, which we're studying Romans, and one in the evening where we're doing Ecclesiastes. And then I have a twin sister who's now in Coeur d'Alene, and we're doing a Bible study on the gospel according to God that is wonderful. It's on Isaiah 53. So we do that on the phone, and that's how we keep very, very close. So with all of that, I'm pretty much in the Bible every day, just preparing for all these Bible studies. But I also love to do Bible studies that is just, I feel like I need to know more about it. And I've always loved John, but I really didn't really focus a lot on 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. So now that's what I'm focusing on. I'm reading 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and I love it. So pretty much just keeping up with all these Bible studies. I'm in the Word daily, and I love it.
Can I ask you really quick, and then I want to hear from you guys. How do you retain, you're in so many different things. How do you retain what you're learning so differently every day?
Yeah, that is a good question. I think what really helps with these Bible studies is when we communicate with each other in the study. You know, we read it first, we study it, we do commentaries, you know, we get prepared. But then discussing it with each other, it just helps to put it more in your brain. And then trying to, before you do a Bible study, pray and ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to help you learn. And then also go into the study thinking, how can I practically use this in my life? And I think that really helps. I don't know, that might go with another question you're going to ask later, so I won't go any further than that.
No, that's super helpful. Yeah, we'll save more for later.
Yeah, like these ladies, I try to make it a daily habit. I do make it a daily habit to be in the Word of God. And for me, that's in the morning. It's the first thing I do after I make coffee is I sit at my table with my journal and my Bible. And this year, you might not be surprised to know that I'm going through Psalm 119. And I am just taking a verse every day. For the past 15 years, I've read the Bible every year, the whole Bible. And so it feels really odd to not be doing that. But I came across that quote by Matthew Henry that I read to you, how if you go through one verse a day, you can get through the whole psalm in a year twice. And then you're going to be all the more in love with Scripture for that practice. So I thought, I'm going to try that. So it's been really fun. So I read the verse. I really meditate it. I try to memorize it. I think about what it means for my life, and then I pray through it, and then I look at the commentaries and write down quotes and things that stand out to me from it, and then I try throughout the day to not just leave it there in the morning. That's the habit I'm working on the most this year. I realize how much I front load my day with Scripture, and then I kind of go on and never look back. So I'm trying to keep it with me in my mind and my heart. And I find going slowly is helping me to do that because I think, okay, what verse did I think about this morning? And then sometimes blank. So I go back to the Word and I'm like, oh yeah, that's what I studied. And it helps it come back to my memory and think about it and how it applies to the rest of my day. And I pray for my friends and family for that verse. Whoever's on my prayer list that day, I just pray that it would be true of their spiritual walk as well. So yeah, that's what I'm doing right now, in addition to studying for EWG as well. I'm in a privileged place in my life right now where I have a lot of time in my day that's at my own discretion, and so I do spend a lot of time in the Word.
sweet. It's really sweet.
That's awesome. I can't wait for those days to come.
You're not there yet.
No. Yeah, I was going to say a key word for right now. Like, what am I doing right now? I just feel like I'm in the season of young motherhood, so it definitely is very sporadic sometimes. But I do feel like it's like you said, it's a habit, right? So for me, it's not necessarily a habit of, like, I get up at a certain time and get the word in before coffee every day. But it is, like, I need to sprinkle it in throughout the day. So I do a lot with my kids, and then I also have personal study, especially with EWG. But I have like a little system because EWG has the homework, and sometimes I do find it hard to sit down and write out all the answers. I do get to it eventually. But what I like to do is listen to it on audio on repeat, the chapter we're working on. And then I also, in the afternoons, usually during nap time, because the mornings can be hard with the rush of getting kids off to school, and I don't always wake up early enough. I will admit that. During nap time, I like to sit and just enjoy my personal Bible, highlighting, underlining. And I usually has the little journaling margins on the side, so I like to write just a quick snippet of something that I took away from that day. And I like to, now I have a habit of like writing the date and highlighting. Sometimes I use a highlighter, and then I highlight what I wrote, so it kind of helps me to keep track of themes, or just it's kind of neat to go through the Bible again. It's like, oh, I wrote this last year about this topic, and just seeing how the Lord is growing me or growing my understanding. It's been really sweet. So I'll like read and listen to the chapter a lot, and then as I get closer to Wednesdays, that's when I'm like, okay, now I feel equipped to just speed answer the questions on the work, the worksheet that they give us. I'm so thankful that because we're discipling our children in the Word, we're doing so much with them. Like we're memorizing my third Nemo and I are memorizing Psalm 145 together. So that's another thing that's like we do it every morning, so that's a habit. And then throughout the day, I'll just kind of repeat it in my mind, or I'll test him and he'll test me, and it's kind of fun. Or even on car rides to church, we'll just listen to it and then we'll try to say it together. And I've really been appreciating in this busy season meditating and memorizing scripture, because I can't always do in-depth study with all the commentaries out and all the journaling, because I'm always on the go. So I love that I can just store it in my heart and then just repeat it and really think about the words and meditate on it. That's been sweet. And then we do family Bible time at the end of the day too, which is like fun because I think sometimes like, oh, this is for the kids. And then it ends up touching my own heart. I'm like, whew, I needed to hear that too, Lord. Thank you. So it's like I said, sprinkles. It's not always the same every day, but it's there. And I'm so thankful for his word to encourage throughout the day.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that you just tell in every single one of these ladies' lives, it's throughout their whole life. It's their whole day. It's their whole life, whether it's an hour, whether it's 5 minutes, whether it's like a sprinkle. I love that the Bible says too, you should meditate on his word. Never does it say you need to read your Bible, you know, for 2 hours every day. It's meditating like Glenna talked about, which I thought was so encouraging too, as a mom with two young kids too. So, okay. If I'm a new believer, where would you tell me to start? If I came to you guys and said, like, where do I start? What advice would you guys offer for a new believer that wants to start studying their Bible?
I want to know more about Jesus. I think when you're a new believer, you have such a desire to know him. You want to know what he said when he was here on earth. You want to know what he did. You want to know that, wow, most of his miracles were, you know, showed love to the people. I mean, I just want to know him. So my advice would be to read the Gospels. John, of course, is great. But also, as I'm finding out now, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John's pretty great too. But I just want to know whatever I can about Jesus. I want to get to know him personally. I want to know what he did, what he said. So that would be my advice.
I'm going to second that one. That was actually what I was thinking, because if you are wanting to grow more in Christ-likeness, which is sanctification, you want to grow more to be like Christ. Well, what did Christ say? What did Christ do? How did he treat people? How did he respond when people didn't treat him well. We're going to experience all kinds of things in life. And so seeing how Jesus responded in all of these scenarios is going to be so helpful. So the Gospels are just such a practical and helpful, clear way to just see the life of Jesus. Just in the same way that we enjoy learning in general, hopefully, enjoy learning about the life of someone, and you become admired by that one person. And the one person that you want to be like that will transform your life is Christ. And so one of the Gospels, I think, would be very helpful. So I was thinking also the Gospel of John, but also another book for a newer believer is, I would say, also Ephesians, is very helpful, very, very helpful, very practical. The first part of Ephesians is just very foundational in your theology, like all the blessings that you have in Christ. And the other part of the book talks about practically, how do you practically put into the foundations that were just talked about in the first couple of chapters into life. So I think that that would be a very helpful and practical book also to go over, very short. And even if you're able to read through it daily or just weekly, but then also have times during the week where you can like dig into portions of it, I think would be very helpful for your walk with the Lord.
Gospels. So if I start reading the Gospels and I don't really understand what I was reading, how would you guys encourage me to understand the Word of God or the Gospels? Some crazy stuff in the Old Testament. So,
well, I think we know that it's the Spirit of God who enlightens our hearts and our minds and gives us understanding. So your first resource is definitely to pray and ask. And I do this before I read the Bible anytime, is ask the Lord to help me to understand it, to help me to see the truth and to know it and apply it to my life. So that's the first thing to do, is to pray for understanding. And if you still don't understand, then pray again and ask the Lord specifically to help you understand what you're reading. And then, of course, you have a lot of wonderful resources at your disposal, with the MacArthur Study Bible being one of them. So easy to access commentaries online, and then for if you want to buy them as well. But then you also have your small group leaders and pastors and elders to ask as well, if you really are stuck on something and really want to figure out what it means.
Yeah, I echo all of that. I was thinking the same thing about the Gospels and just knowing the heart of Christ, knowing his obedience to the Father and just seeing his life. Definitely the first place I would go. I would say too, because, you know, assuming you're involved in a church fellowship, that you can just, like you already mentioned, like go, you could do the Bible in a year, or, you know, it'd be, I love that when I was younger and I feel like I did have a lot of time, I dove into those Bible in a year plans and I did not understand every single sentence. And sometimes it was like, okay, what just happened in Leviticus? I don't know. But I would still ask those questions, like, what does this tell me about God? What does it tell me about human nature? And I had my trusty John MacArthur Study Bible. I used to have, before I knew John, I had an ESV Study Bible, and just kind of give like, oh, did I pause and say, what do I think this means? And then test it against what the Study Bible said and be like, okay, I was on the right track, or no, I was not. And it was just a really sweet process, because even though you may not understand everything, the Lord will use that and make you familiar with Scripture. Because my next advice would be, in addition to commentaries, is always take advantage of cross-references. Some Bibles have them, some don't. I have the ESV app on my phone, so I have my physical Bible, and sometimes quickly I'll have a bunch of little letters, I'll tap the letters, and it will show me cross-references, and it'll take me directly there quickly. So the combination of knowing the whole story of Scripture, the whole scope of it, and then seeing the cross-references will give a lot more understanding often, and I really love to see the connections in different parts of Scripture, especially because as you're reading the Gospels, you'll see Jesus quotes the Old Testament, and the disciples, as they're writing by the Spirit, will quote a lot of Old Testament references, and it's really neat to see those connections.
You know, I was also thinking, I'm very fortunate, and when my husband was still alive, he worked at Grace to You, and he oversaw editorial. So we have all of John's books, all of his commentaries, which is just great, and I do go to those frequently. But there have been times when I'll think, wow, I just don't quite understand this. And I wish there was a Q&A right now and I could hear John MacArthur, you know, and I could ask him this question. I thought, hey, we have a great source in our fellowship groups. I can go up to, fortunately, I know Phil Johnson, and I don't know him quite as well, but Mike Riccardi. And, you know, afterwards, you can go up to them and say, I have a question. Could you help me with this? We are so blessed with the leadership of our Bible studies. So I think that's a great source, too.
I realize I didn't finish my thought there when I was saying, I'm assuming you're in a church body. I was saying when you're reading the whole scripture, yeah, you make use of people, whether you're small group leaders or your pastors or Bible study leaders, to, if you have any questions along the way, to ask them. Like, take advantage of the community you have.
Love that. It's like, yeah, I just think of high school ministry. That's what we make our small groups. We make it those connections on a very small level for them to hopefully keep going as they, you know, grow up and go to college ministries, and then often that those are connecting in the church body. Glenna, you mentioned just making it a spiritual discipline of like something, a habit, which I really love. Is sometimes we stray from that, but it is a habit that we have to condition ourselves to, just like brushing our teeth. We need to take care of our teeth. We need to take care of our souls. What are some things that help it not feel like homework, though? Like, how do you guys go about not making it feel like a checklist? Or when it does feel like a checklist, what do you do with that?
I think my first advice would be, it kind of has to be a habit before it becomes a pleasure to do it. There's just no getting past the fact that there's going to be blessing from just doing it every day. And the more you do it, the more you're going to realize how much you need it and how much you love it and want to do it. Now, if you don't, if that continues for a long time where you just really don't want to do it, then you have other questions to ask yourself. Like, where am I really spiritually? Do I really believe what I say I believe? Or am I just going through the motions? Because you don't want to just go through the motions forever. But sometimes we need to go through the motions so that it sticks and so that we develop the right heart towards the Lord and towards doing his will. So it's a little bit of a fine line there. And so maybe you ladies have some other practical ways that you try to keep it from feeling like a chore so much.
I think it exactly starts with what you're saying, Glenna, that it has to start with just the habit of doing it. But I think also understanding why you're doing it. When I was about to go to Bible college, someone told me, make sure that you don't make your Bible your textbook. And I really appreciated that, but I knew that I had to, just looking back, I realized like I had to think about like how not to do that. And I think I learned that with the habit, like in high school, starting the habit of just reading my Bible every day was so helpful. And realizing that the Word of God is not any other book, I think that that was the key for me. The Bible is not just any ordinary book. The Bible is, my life. It's my everything. My Bible is my guide. And I think that perspective, your heart's perspective, is going to be so important, because if you go into it just as a normal habit, like if you're in a sport and you have to practice every day and you're going to do it because you want to get better, like that's good. But reading the Bible is like, no, I'm reading it because I want to grow, because I want to be more like Christ, because I want to be strengthened, I want to be encouraged. But it's going to start with the practical day-to-day getting in it. And so I think it works together, like being in it every day, being intentional about building that habit, and at the same time, keeping your heart in check, remembering that you're not just going before a book, you're going before the Word of God. And the Word of God is going to transform me, is going to help me, so that if there are difficult things that are happening in my life right now, or when they come, because they will, I have already trained my heart to go there, to be in God's Word and to be just soaked in to God's Word, or just be devoted to God's Word. I remember in college, I went through a really, really hard season where I really, really just struggled, very, very, very discouraged. And I remember there were times where I just really had a hard heart, but I was already in the habit of going into God's word, and that helped me so much to just go. And I remember one particular time, and this is all God's grace and for his glory, but I remember one particular time I was so just angry and just really, really hurt. And I had, again, already developed this habit of being in God's word. But I remember looking at God's word. It was closed. My Bible was closed. And I just remember saying, sadly, like, I don't want to go there because I know that I'm going to find the truth. And I just don't want it right now. And praise God, at that moment, I realized and confessed my sin. I said, Lord, I need it. And I opened up my Bible, and I just spent time there because by God's grace, I had developed that habit, and I have already seen God's work in my life path prior. So I had already seen God working in my heart, helping me how to like work on my speech, how to work on my thoughts, how to work on trusting him. And so when the tests came and when the difficulties came, because of that discipline that you've already developed, it helps you and strengthens you and it encourages you. So,
yeah, so it is kind of like homework, you know, because ideally, I know teachers don't always do this, but ideally they give you homework that's helping you practice for the test or helping you get something into your mind and make it stay there so that when you need it, you have it. And so homework is not something bad as much as we don't like it. It's something that we do to prepare us. And so just like Aureli said, the test comes and it's like, oh, I studied about this. I know this. And so you're ready to apply what you learned.
Also, I think give yourself a lot of time. I love Every Woman's Grace and the fact that they have it divided up into days. And the worst thing you can do is, oh, you're so busy that it's the day before and you have all those questions to answer. Then it becomes a chore. And then you just have to get through it. And it's not a joy. But I think when you take it in the smaller segments and really enjoy it, you know, give yourself a lot of time. I think that really helps me. But when I save it all to the last second and it's just, yeah, that's not. Anyway.
Yeah. And then it becomes definitely a checklist. Danny, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's funny because earlier I just said that. I kind of take that approach where I do it all kind of towards the end. But it's because I enjoy the other process that I have. So I'm still enjoying diving into God's word. And then I'm like, but I still want to be able to discuss it with my group and make sure I'm on the same page and have that accountability. So I still appreciate the question. Sometimes it can feel that way of like, procrastination's not good. But still, making sure that I'm intentional to still be reading the word slowly and to enjoy it. What I was going to say, though, I had a few other thoughts about if it starts to feel that way. One of them was like if I'm in a really difficult text, like if it's at the Old Testament or just something that I'm just kind of struggling to connect with, I do love to listen to sermons because it's like I'm not seeing anything here. I don't know what's happening here. And then the pastors start breaking it down. I'm like, what? Like, I did not even know. And I love hearing, you know, their insights in the scripture. And so I appreciate listening to sermons. And then that kind of pricks my you know, desire to like go back to it and keep pursuing it and keep persevering in that book. I had another thought, but it was, yeah, I'm trying to remember what it was. But that was my big one, was like listening to sermons or other people, yeah, that have studied it. I think my other encouragement was just like God's word, you'll never regret going in God's word. And so there'll be moments like where I'm like Aureli kind of mentioned, I'm looking at my Bible and I'm like, oh, like I got to do this, like 5 million other things today, but I just got to open it. I got to do it. It's gonna bless me. And it may not be an immediate like emotional response where I'm like, wow, that was like the best verse I've ever read, but it will be something that the Lord, that investment, the Lord will never, it never returns void, right? We love that scripture, and it's so true. The Lord will use that little investment, even if it's just reading 5 minutes, to allow you to serve someone else or even to minister to your own heart, maybe not that moment, but later in your life. And so never is wasted to get in. God's word's never wasted, and it's I never regret going to God's word when I open it. I'm just like so thankful by the end.
Sorry, just one more thing to add to you ladies. Also just very simple, but I think important, just pray and ask the Lord to help you. We just studied a little bit of Psalm 119, and what is this author doing? He's like asking, like, Lord, help me. Like, you have to help me. And I think that if our heart's desire is to view God's word for what it is, just pray and ask the Lord to allow you to delight in him, that reading his word and being in his word would be a delight and not a duty. Feel like you have to do something. And also ask for prayer. I'm sure it's going to be maybe mentioned a little bit, but if you have like accountability partner or just your mom or your small group leader, and ask them to pray for you, to pray for your walk with the Lord and your time in the word, because it is so important. And sometimes it can be really hard. And sometimes it depends on the season of life that you're in, and you just really need a lot of prayer, and having the prayer support of others is really important. So
I love that. That goes very nicely into my next question. I have kind of for you two ladies that have older daughters, because there's a lot of moms and daughters in the room, and you guys raised high school daughters. So what did you guys, can you talk to me a little bit about, did you guys do a Bible study with your girls? Like, what did that look like? How did you encourage them to be in the word? Or did you just lead by example? Talk to me about how to encourage these moms with their daughters. Yeah, getting them into scripture. I know, you know, you can't save your daughters, and but you really want them to love the Lord and love the word of God just as much as you guys do.
Wow, that's tough with your daughter being here.
I know, both of us.
Well, Emily, yeah, they're both here, so you guys did something.
I always
trained them up in the way that they should go.
I feel like I could have done better.
Me too.
Let's put it that way. Right now, more current, I think about being with my daughter in Africa and seeing their devotion times and what they're doing with their daughters. And I just think, why didn't we do that even more, my husband and I? But I think that it's really important to do it as a family. I think that I'll share something that I got from Rick Holland. He was once talking about listening to a sermon, and then on the way home, they would all talk about that sermon and talk about how do we practically put that into our life. And I thought that was really great, you know. And sometimes, not always, but when I'm with my daughter Emily, if we've been to church, well, we always go to church, but when we're together, I'll say, well, what did you talk about in your high school group? And, you know, what, and I want to really learn about what you learned. And then I'll talk about what I learned in, you know, Grace Life, and we will discuss it and make it real practical. But I wish, of course, I could redo all those years and been even, she's shaking her head, but I was very fortunate to have a wonderful husband, and we are very like-minded in raising our children to know the Lord and talking about him and eating dinner and discussing the Lord at dinner time and praying together. And I was just so fortunate to involve the whole family. Now, my parents were unequally yoked. My mother had to be the leader in teaching me about the Lord, and that was tough. She did a great job, but not to have your husband as a leader in this is really difficult. And I think that when we're talking about teaching our children, it's great when you have a husband who can lead in doing that. And I was very fortunate in that regard. But
praise God, your mom did it anyway.
I know she did from
such
the day
a great
one.
Example.
Yeah, I was very fortunate.
Yeah, I can echo a lot of what Jackie said. I do wish that I had done better, more. But early on, we talked to Dr. Busenitz, Irv and Karen Busenitz, so the OG Busenitz, as Nathan calls them. And they both grew up in homes where it was mandatory family worship every day for an hour, and they both hated it. And they sat there with hard hearts and resented every minute of it. And so when they got married and had kids, they purposed to not do family worship. And they said, we're just going to talk about the Bible all the time. And like you were saying, Jackie, over dinner, in the car on the way home, what are you thinking about? What did you hear today? What does God's word say about that? You know, when you're talking about a conflict they have with a friend. And so Rodney and I sort of did a mixture. I think we weren't always consistent about having, we called it Bible time at night. We would read something before bed and pray together and sometimes sing songs, which was, boy, you wish you could have been a fly on the wall there. None of us are great singers, but that was fun. So, and we tried to keep it short and sweet and simple, and then just really focused more on talking about God's word as we went along the way. We did homeschool for different segments of time, and so we always had Bible as a part of that. I remember most vividly one year we went through Proverbs, like you're doing, Arelli, and we would, as a family, in our quiet times, we would read the whole chapter, depending on the day of the month it was. So chapter one on the first, we'd read it, and we'd have a specific theme each month of what we were looking for. And that was just such an impactful study. So like in January, we'd study the tongue. So we'd all just keep a record of all of the verses we found that mentioned how we should speak or how we should not speak. And then at the end of the month, we'd have a meeting, and we'd share all the verses that we studied and ones that particularly stood out to us, and we'd pray for growth in that area. So we did that for a full year. We had 12 themes that we read through Proverbs, a proverb every day, and looked for those themes. That's one that really stands out to me, as I know I grew a lot, and I did it on my computer, so I still have all of those, my own study recorded there, and I've gone back to it so many times when I need some verses on a particular theme. It's been really helpful. So yeah, we did just a kind of a conglomeration of things, and really tried to make the Lord's word the focus of our conversation day and night.
Love that. As another question here that was actually sent in, so I want to hit this one. But as we talked about unequally yoked, so a little bit different, but as maybe someone that got saved, as a mom that's been saved later in life and is newly saved, how would you encourage her to encourage her kids to love the Lord without being defined by her past, being newly saved? Does this make sense? Did I make that sense? I know I put you on the spot. I'm sorry.
can you just repeat it?
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the questions was, as a new mom that, or as a mom that's newly saved, how would you encourage her to help guide her kids to walk in the Word of God without being defined by her past?
That's a great question. And I think, so important. How do you go forward not being defined by your past and teach your daughter, even when you don't have a lot to draw from? You're still learning a lot too. And I think it's just being humble and being honest with the process that you're in. You don't have to pretend to be something that you're not. You don't have to pretend to know something that you don't know, but you can bring your daughter along with you in the process that you're going through and just be really open about what you're learning. And, confessing sin is something as a parent that I think is so healthy, to confessing sin to your children, especially when it has impacted them. Not, you don't tell them everything that's going on in your mind, but if a sin that you committed was seen by them and known by them, then the act of humbly confessing that to them and having them watch you go through the process of repentance is really instructive for your kids. So don't neglect that wherever you are in whatever stage of life. But especially if you're a new believer, you know, you can't hide the fact that you're still growing and that you sin sometimes, but you can use that to point your daughter to Christ and to the gospel.
Well, that's something I never, my mother fortunately was a believer from day one. She was born and raised in a wonderful Christian family. So she was a great person to teach me from day one. But I would think that you would almost have to do it together. You know, I think that we both are new believers, and there's so much for us to learn in God's word. And, you know, we can do Bible studies together, or you can do your study, and then we can talk about it afterwards. And I just think you have to be, we're going to do this together and pray, of course. Oh, my goodness. Pray and pray that the Holy Spirit will guide you as a new believer to guide your daughter or your son. That is a great question, but I think it takes a lot of thought.
Do you guys think it's wrong to do Bible studies with somebody else and not by yourself?
I saw that question. I think number one, it's great to do a Bible study, first of all, yourself. My sister, again, she lives in Coeur d'Alene. I live here. And we both do our study separately. And then what we do is we call each other on the phone. And I've written all these questions and just comments on the... I'll show you. It's never good to take a book that I've just been using for a study. I mean, it's just full of stuff all over the place. And then after I've thoroughly studied it, she's thoroughly studied it, then we come together and we talk about everything that we've underlined, you know, all the things on the margin. And I just think that it is great because we can maybe give each other insight that maybe the other one didn't have. But I first of all want to study it thoroughly myself. And we've loved this. We've been doing this for a couple of years now, and it's just the love of my life when she calls me up and says, "Are you ready?" We only take 10 pages at a time, but we really talk. It takes us about an hour and a half on the phone to talk about those 10 pages, and it just draws us so close together. And but I think, first of all, I want to study it myself and be, you know, pray about it. If I don't understand it, look in commentaries and be well prepared before I do talk to her, and vice versa. That's just my experience.
Why? This isn't necessarily towards you, but you can answer, Jackie. But why? Why do you think it's important to study it yourself?
There's a really old hymn that says it's about something flowery in the garden or something like that. But it says, "He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the love we share, or the joy we share," something like that, "as we tarry there, none other has ever known." So your relationship with Jesus is unique to every other relationship that you have. And it's unique to you. The relationship you have with Christ is not the same as the relationship your friend or your Bible study leader has with Christ. And so there's something really important about meeting alone with Christ to talk and to tell him what's on your heart. And there might be things you wouldn't tell another person that are in your heart, but you can tell Jesus because he knows your heart already. So, but that being said, I think, you know, there's training wheels too. Like you can get together with someone and just say, "I'm just new at this. I don't know how to spend time in the Word. And can you help me?" And you can spend time with someone who has that experience and can kind of point you in the right direction and get you rolling and help you to have that time on your own.
Yeah, it's so good. I mean, I don't have too much more to add. I feel like that's the best point was just, yeah, that personal communion, right? Just communion with Christ. It's just such an amazing privilege we have as believers that his Spirit can be at work. And I think there's such a goodness to wrestling with his Word, you know, just, you know, individually with him. And then he has, you know, the church to then we go to and sound off what we did, you know, learn from the Word personally. But it's just such a special gift that we have access to the Word and that we can commune with him in that way. And I think, too, I feel like it's just such a special opportunity to let the Word minister directly to you before you start just hearing another human's thoughts, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's such a personal relationship. And I'm so thankful for that. We're able to have that personal relationship with the Lord. Okay, that kind of ends our time for the first Q&A. I have so many more after, so for the next session. But just thank you for that. That's so helpful. I think just seeing that each of you guys are in the Word daily in all aspects of your life, I think that's kind of what I'm getting from it. Like you each have time, but it's throughout the entire day, whether it's personal time, then Bible study at night, or 50 different Bible studies, or Proverbs and 1 Corinthians. Like, I think that's so helpful to see that there's not one way to study the Bible. But I think it's helpful because Glenna gave a very good example during the first session of how I feel like we could just start. You could just start with those, like take a couple verses and start with like, what does it say about God? What does it say about myself? And then, yeah, get together with some friends and be like, "Hey, let's talk about this, because let's see if I'm thinking rightly through this and thinking about God rightly, thinking what others have learned." I think that's so helpful. It's such a good way to start The word of God never returns void. So I'm always so thankful for that. But thank you so much. Let's go ahead and pray. And then we will move on to, I think, our like brunch time. Let me just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we're able to come together. Thank you for just these sweet ladies that have just taken the day to come down to the basement and just bless us with their knowledge and just show us their how you've impacted their lives and how we're able to see the fruit of that and how much they love you and how much just the joy of studying your word has affected all areas of their lives. And we're so thankful for that. We're so thankful for them and the ability to see that. We're thankful for just your church and that you've allowed us to come together to meet today. We just pray that we would just be gospel-centered with our conversations, and we would encourage each other just to love you more and bring each other closer to just a closer knowledge of you and a closer love to you each and every day, that we would just build this habit. Give us a discipline to build this habit of being in your word, because we know that is what we need. That's what we need every day of our lives. And we're so thankful that you've given it to us. We thank you so much for this day and this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Here comes Emily. You can ask her if she liked her family Bible time.
I loved all of my family time. My mom's the best. So now we are going to do lunch. Someone's going to come around to dismiss the tables, so don't worry. You'll get to eat, but it will be orderly. And we are going to be playing a game during the brunch because we like to keep you guys busy. It's bingo, but you have to go around. You can't ask the same person more than once about the bingo questions. So whoever gets bingo, and it's just, you know, regular bingo. You guys know how to play bingo. Whoever, the first three winners get something. So just come find me if you get bingo. Come find me. First three people get a prize. Okay. So just wait to be dismissed. Thanks. Oh, so sorry. Yes, never mind. Yes, you're going to pray.
Okay.
Jenny's going to pray. Sorry. You guys are stuck up here.
What a fun, full morning we have had. And that was such an encouragement to hear from all these ladies. And I hope that you were all richly blessed by that. And I'm sure everybody is very hungry. So I'm just going to pray for us. And then you'll start being dismissed to go and have lunch. So let's pray for our food. Lord God, thank you again so much for this morning. We are so grateful to be able to come together. We're thankful to be encouraged to be in your word, to make it part of our day, morning through the evening, God, to always be meditating and dwelling on the riches and the truths that are in your word. And so I just pray, Lord, for all of us going forth from this day, that we would be reminded of that. And thank you, Lord, for this food that you have provided for us, for the hands that have prepared it and gotten it all ready for us. And pray, God, for this time of fellowship that we have at our tables, that our conversation would just be honoring and glorifying to you. In your son's name, amen.